Hello and welcome to another
podcast, take two.
You're listening to the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, part of the Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. I'm Fess, and in this episode, it's going to be maybe a little bit shorter. We'll see. It's an interview episode. I'm going to be interviewing a couple of people from the creative team of the webcomic Demon Archives at demonarchives.com. And so with me is its producer, Nicholas Sharp.
Hello, hello.
And its writer, Daniel Sharp.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Now, the reason I sort of put this show together was Daniel Sharp has followed me on the Webcast Beacon Network's Patreon. And if you look at it, you can tell I clearly don't know business stuff.
but I'm your one and only patron.
One and only patron. And so he's like, well, why don't you do like interviews and such like that and have people sign up? And it's like, okay. So that's why he's here today, because he pressed for it. And I thought, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's get on that. And whether or not they're actually going to want an official Webcomic Beacon review is something I'll leave them up to decide at the end of the interview if they want me to.
That depends. Can I pay for favorable reviews or
no,
or just interviews?
The reviews I can accept for paid advertisements, but I will not take payment for interviews, as I can be very critical.
Oh, no, that was completely 100% a joke, and I'm glad that you don't do the things that oftentimes people you see will be these kind of paid reviews, and YouTube specifically in the last little bit in gaming was getting a lot of critique for that, people paying to do reviews of greenlit Steam games and things like that.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah, there's a little bit of controversy between the Game Station, Total Biscuits crowd, and the Yogg's cast about some what level of disclosure you should do.
It should be 100% complete disclosure.
Yeah, and that's what people were critiquing, whether, you know, is putting in the description of the video enough, but maybe people don't read it. So should you intro the video with a, by the way, this is paid? And it got a little hilarious, and there's been some debate back and forth.
No, is every once in a while I get like random emails with, hey, we'd like to pay you for blah, 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 to put this article in your website, blah, blah, blah. It'll be related to your... It's basically just... link baiting your site for other people's stuff, and it's almost complete BS. But I always say it's like this would be if this was going to happen. I always tell them it's like this would be marked as a paid advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
That's good intellectual honesty as well for your audience.
Yeah, I mean I like to try to keep some integrity. You know, little.
Yep.
Just enough to sleep at night, you know.
Enough to sleep at night, absolutely.
So you're saying I shouldn't go all lobbyist style and threaten to no longer support you if you don't give me a nice review or something? Completely unrelated, of course. I happen to be supporting you.
Yeah, that sounds like too much politics. I would expect and not care or not make a big deal of if I had a Patreon and I put a bad review and they withdrew their patron, I would totally be fine with that, because I'm a human being and I expect, of course, that things like that would happen. But I also try to be positive in some of my reviews or give pointers and or say if I have a bias. So it's like, I don't particularly like this genre, but let's give it a shot. You know, so I try.
It's the difference. A lot of people... I mean, especially creative types, some of them get spoon-fed from day one that, you know, from their parents and friends that this is the most amazing thing in the world. And very few actually receive honest, critical, you know, guidance and help. I think we have been blessed by the fact that neither of us are artistic, and therefore we are fully aware that we suck at that. And then we got a great artist for that, right? So, yeah. So there's been none of the, you're my best, you're going to be a famous artist, you know, none of that crap growing up. Yeah. And then I think that helps us. So like honest critiques are incredibly valuable, actually.
Yeah, I agree. I've signed up for reviews. I've been like asked people for reviews, and the ones when people have been honest and actually, you know, critical and like, hey, this is a weakness. And it's all about just how you do it, because there are some people, there are some review sites who they exist for snark, to make a joke, to be snide, to poke holes, to cause problems. And like those ones are annoying when it's like, you're trying to be snarky. Like you could just give me an honest review. Don't look for every single flaw.
Well, I mean, there's the reviewtainment aspect.
Yes.
And
yeah.
And I can get that to a point. But it was, I mean, it's like, you know, back in the day, there's like, I don't know if they still do it, but there's this, your webcomic is bad and you should feel bad. You know, that you say right in the title that you have nothing constructive to say. And then also it's like you're basically being angry and insulting people that are giving free content. So it's not like you've been betrayed by your investment or something like that.
It's true.
Anyway. So like, let's get off this topic a little bit, because
long winded. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. It's, you know, that's why I put the disclaimer. I was like, do not submit if you don't want to hear the bad stuff. So then I don't have to feel bad about, man, I feel like I'm just badgering this person. But no, so you guys mentioned that you obviously don't have artistic skills when it comes visually, and you were talking about your artist, and unfortunately we did not get your artist here tonight. So Am I right to assume, because I read the whole comic, did you have a few different artists, or was that just an artist playing around with style?
So we have one main artist. He's like the head artist, artistic director, I think is the term Nick likes to use. That's Sebastian Pires. And then for this latest chapter sequence, it's a series of flashback dream sequences. And so we decided a long time ago we wanted to get each sequence, each flashback in a slightly different style, to kind of express that sort of chaotic, jarring nature of dreams and that they're very different. So we actually, this set of flashbacks are done, I think we have three different artists doing seven sequences. Okay. And Sebastian is doing, he did like two or three of them. Another one, Nico Leon, is doing another couple. And then Matthias Basla did one of them
so
as well.
The first two chapters is the main artist, is then what you're saying?
Yeah, the first three chapters has been Sebastian Pires all the way. Chapter four has been a mix of different artists, and then chapter five is going to continue to be Sebastian Pires, because he's the main artist.
Okay, how many pages are going to be in chapter four?
It's going to be about, I just counted, it's going to be about 70. It's actually a really long chapter, because since it's a series of like seven nightmare flashbacks while the main character is essentially in a coma.
Spoilers.
What? No, I'm not spoiling anything. If you've read the comic, you know what's happening.
Yeah, but for our listening audience.
Well, for unknown, undisclosed reasons.
Hypothetically speaking, if the main character were in a medically induced trauma state and having nightmares, there would be seven of them.
Okay.
Yeah, and so when I was actually planning out, like, do I break this into chapters? There was no good breaks between these seven sequences. So I was like, well, heck with it. It's just going to be a really long chapter.
Well, I think it also helps it's like I've been liking like the, I think it was like the first, it was like really noticeable. It's like, oh, this is a little bit of a dream state here for some of them. And they switch around. I actually am really liking the latest art. It looks so familiar. I can't quite put my thumb on it.
It's like Samurai Jack. The latest sequence, it looks a little like Samurai Jack to me.
I don't know. A little bit more detailed than it. Well, the characters are very simply colored, but I like the style that this person's going for.
Yeah, and this is actually, this current sequence is actually, he just is really skilled and can pop out like three or four different styles on demand, apparently.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, this is Seba's. We gave him free rein on this one, essentially, and this is a style he uses for just internal quick sketches to warm up, and so he wanted to experiment with polishing up that style, actually, to completion, and I think it turned out amazing.
Yeah. We really like allowing him to have freedom of expression because, like, it lets him grow. We like it helps us also helps him be more a partner in the team and less of, like, an employee where, hey, we pay you, draw like this. Like, no, you're the art director. You get to decide what the artistic vision and appeal and look of the comic is. So he's done two of the nightmare sequences, okay, each in a very different style.
All right. So, what about? Okay. So, chapter four. So you've been updating for quite a while. When did you guys start this comic online?
So we started, initial launch, I believe, was 2012, like October, November of 2012. Okay. We started launch then. We did a relaunch in early 2013. I think it was early 2013. No, late 2013. We did a relaunch. Like, we made a new website. We relaunched and got through the first couple chapters real quick. While allowing our artists to build up a buffer. Mm-hmm. But we started in 2012.
Okay. So what's your update frequency?
Currently we're doing twice a week, Mondays and Thursdays.
Okay. So the reason
that's a level that we can maintain for the moment. We have a decent sized buffer ahead of us, mm-hmm, and we're able to keep it at that.
So, my leading questions up to, what does your audience currently think about doing the flashback? I mean, 70 some pages is quite a long time. Do you think people might be getting too antsy to go back to the main story, or has this been satisfactory thus far?
Thus far, the response has been very satisfactory. There's actually been one of the latest pages had some really good comments from some readers talking about how they're finally starting to understand the protagonist better. Because previously, our protagonist in the first couple chapters, he's kind of a dumb jerk in some ways. And people are like, man, he's a dumb jerk. That's lame. And we're like, yes, in some ways he's a dumb jerk. Would you like to know why? And so chapter four is really kind of answering that as we get to see some of his life story and some of his backstory. And so far, I feel the response has been good. I mean, stats-wise, readership has only increased. It hasn't gone down. So they're coming back at least still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We did start the story. The story starts quite abruptly. And it starts quite abruptly, and then it has a very, very quick, you know, standard plot spike, peak, and then back into a lull. So we didn't start it slow with kind of the world building and the character intro, and that's what they're getting now without it being kind of like a forced dialogue or a forced flashback.
Well, you started with a few pages of world setup. And then you get into the thick of things, and then you take it. It's like just basically the big opening, like the first 10 minutes of a movie, the punch.
Yep.
And then you get into, all right, these are our main characters. Let's follow them.
Yeah, that's kind of what we're doing. That's always, Nick always likes to describe it that way, is it was just a really long intro. We just hit the title sequence, and now we're like starting, okay, now, hey, this is your character. Let's see what's going on. And we're kind of at that point in the story, whereas from here now we're building up to the meat and the full main plot of the whole story. It just is going to build from here, but it was that, you know, hook first three chapters, and now we're building.
It's like the I just saw Pacific Rim the other day. It's kind of like that, a little bit of world building. You get into the thick of things, and then title screen, and then you're back to the characters. And
yep, one of those like half hour intros. We're like, wow, the title finally launches.
I know, it's just crazy. All right.
I think people had a hard time at first, and I think we've made it clear in the comments, but Dan and I grew up with like long form comics, graphic mm-hmm. novels, things like Bone and ElfQuest and a few others.
Yeah.
It's definitely not your 26 page entire plot arc start to finish style like comic serial. It's a graphic novel.
Right. I have no idea how to write one of those. Absolutely none.
It is tougher.
Bravo to those who do.
It's tougher to do a graphic novel style when you're doing a web comic, because people are not really looking forward to single page update that's just one color with text on it, which I highly don't recommend if that's what you'll like, your first 10 pages, if you got a lot of that, don't start talking about it or advertising until you got like 8 to 10 pages of content with those in there, so that somebody doesn't come back in the next week and it's just text.
Yep. Yeah, we have not even really started. I mean, we got Patreon money, so we started placing some very, you know, limited and targeted Project Wonderful ads. Mm-hmm. But we have not even still to this point started marketing, because I just don't think there's enough there quite yet that I would want to feel like I'm, you know, paying to drive traffic. And I don't want people to feel like they're paying to get it yet, because
I'd say you have
until the end of chapter four.
You've got plenty. You got plenty of little starting points. Just because in general, you don't need to have a Project Wonderful go to your latest page. You can obviously have that link go to anywhere. And I don't think that some people realize, hey, put it at the start of a chapter or at the thick of some stuff that might grab those drive-by clicks.
Yeah.
Something that's like, ooh, what is this? This is kind of cool. But dropping them at the beginning probably wouldn't be a good idea.
Yeah. Beginning's not that exciting yet.
Yeah.
It's also some of my weakest pages. Like, those are the first things I produced about like 2 years ago. It was like 2 years ago we were working on them, because we tried to, I think we had like almost all of chapter one done before we started like actually posting pages.
Okay.
So it was like 2 years ago I wrote those first couple pages. I've since like gone back and tried to edit the text as like the dialogue, because it was really crappy.
Retconning.
Yes. Just a tiny bit.
Okay. Do you guys have an elevator pitch?
I need to memorize it, but basically, yeah. Would you like it?
Yes, please.
I have one that might be better than Dan's.
Oh, okay. Oh,
Nick, you go ahead. You do your
elevator.
You're
going to throw that type of a disclaimer. I mean, seriously. Confident, man. The Demon Archives is a futuristic, somewhat dystopian, post-singularity, post-apocalypse, but very, like, Asimov science fiction-esque. We want everything that we're talking about and doing to be believable. So there's no magical hand-waving that all of the gasoline in the world suddenly disappeared. There's no magical hand-waving that everybody forgot about guns and zombies, and P.S. there will be no zombies.
Okay.
But it's a very hardcore science fiction. We've got pages and pages of research on things like powered armor and genetics and nanobots.
Cool.
The Demon Archives, however, in that setting, is the story of a child of war growing up and suffering every day of his life in war and the psychological trauma that he is overcoming.
That's a pretty good pitch.
It's a good pitch. It's a little bit long for an elevator pitch.
A little long. That's a long elevator pitch.
It's a tall building, though, so it's all good.
All right. Are there any other comics or projects that you have worked on before this?
This is actually both of ours, like our first real creative endeavor that we're putting together. I mean, I have, you know, growing up writing stupid little stories in your notebook that you think are awesome, but are actually just like hacked copies of your favorite book.
Okay. I mean,
but those don't count. This is our first real creative endeavor together.
And for the Demon Archives, have you set out a definite end to it, or just like outlines or plot points? I mean, how are you sort of approaching the writing of this story?
That's a great question. We have it. This started in a creative fiction class I took in the last year of my undergraduate. And so I wrote it novel. I was writing it as a novel, planning out and pacing a novel, at which point we then realized pretty shortly that it would be muchly benefited by awesome art, because I was lacking severely in like description, in like the narrative description of scenes and stuff. And so an artist could do that. Pictures worth 1,000 words sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So as part of that, I have planned out the story in fairly detail, all the major plot points, where we're going, where the end of this story arc is all fairly well plotted out. I like to leave a decent amount of space, wiggle room, for my characters to grow. And so not everything is 100% set in stone, because I realize, you know what, I have to see, as I'm writing, as I'm building this character and growing this character, what would he do? Not what will I think he'll do right now, but like, he's not going to act that way. He's going to act this way. And so it's a little bit of both, a little bit of these hard, fast, yes, beginning, middle, end. Here are the major plot points, and trying to leave space for growth.
Have you ever had a plan for any of your characters, but the journey that got you there or your muse tell you, like remind you about the character, and it's like, or you discovered something new about the character that you had to rewrite what you originally intended?
Yeah, I've had some of that so far. Nothing that's really shown up too much yet in the comic.
There was a big one. There was a big one, Dan. You're forgetting it.
Which one? What did I forget?
Victor.
Which part of Victor?
So,
wait, yeah, which spoiler? Part?
Spoiler? Yeah. Not too many spoilers, but we when we actually wrote the ending of chapter 2, or the middle of chapter 2, there's an amazing page where one of Tenzin's closest friends is traumatically wounded. As we were drawing that and as we were reading that through again and again, we've significantly changed what will be happening with regards to Tenzin and Victor course of the story. Because as we were writing and drawing that and listening to people talking about it, we realized the importance of that connection that we had made there.
Hmm. Yeah, so there's that one. That's a good one. But that was
the spoiler-free version.
Yeah, that's still pretty spoilery, bro. I was thinking of... So when I started writing this a long time ago, years ago, I'm just imagining like, oh, my character, and then character's love interest, and then having that character I initially imagined as protagonist love interest actually blossoming into a character to the point where I'm like, no, I don't actually think she would like him. I don't actually think he would like her. I don't think that they're actually going to be love interest. Like, it started that way, but now she's like a real character who I don't actually know if they're going to like each other at all.
I think that's really good. Good to do. It's a little tiring seeing women characters pop up as, oh, what are they? Oh, they're the love interest. Aren't they? Yep. Don't they do anything else? So that sounds promising of what you were just describing. So
yeah, you have to have someone to draw scantily clad for some advertisements for Linkbait, right?
There's no way that she would ever be scantily clad.
All right, so let's see here. So you talked about the team a little bit and your artist. So I would like to clarify a couple of things. So how do you present the script to your artist? Do you have a lot of artistic direction or very specific things in mind, or you just have things spelled out? Do they have a lot of freedom in sort of doing the direction of scenes? Of how they're played out? I mean, I don't know how anal you get when it comes to writing out a scene or not.
That's a great question. We are actually very freeform with our artists. I recognize that Seba is a much better plotter at putting the story to page than I am. So the way we use a project managing software called Basecamp. It's basically like a fancy Google Docs where we share back and forth. I share the script. I share what I imagine being the amount of story that will take place on this page. And then from there, it's like Seba will then take that, adjust it. He'll sketch out what he imagines happening on the page. He'll do the pacing. He'll do the panels. And we work together to like, yeah, that's good. And then I'll provide the dialogue for the panels that he has created. So it's not like I don't give him a full script dialogue. Panel one, this is what happens. Panel two, this is what happens. And he draws it. He like draws it all, and then I decide, and then I break, okay, well, this will be the dialogue for those panels you've created. And for some of these nightmares as well, these flashback sequences, we gave the artist a very basic thing, like the one that just barely concluded. All we really told Seba, like, hey, we want a flashback where protagonist tries to save someone and fails. And we let him brainstorm himself, like, hey, how does he want to show that? How does he want to do that? And he got to pick most of
it. Don't they get the writer credit for that story then? And you get the story
probably. Vibe? Well, I mean, we worked it to – yeah, maybe we should to some level. Because we do give them a lot of ideas.
Okay.
But it's always like the, here's what I imagine. Here's a bunch of ideas. What do you think? How do you want to do it?
All right.
We're giving them a more creative role than just the drawing what we say to draw.
Okay.
But it'd be like a blind person describing a book to a filmmaker, right? The level of insight that the blind person can honestly give in the film representation thereof, it would be ludicrous to try and be anal about that. Whereas honestly recognizing that all we really have is a good story, and the best thing we've quite possibly done is find a good artist to put that on into an artistic form for us.
Okay.
Disrespecting him and just trying to treat him like a paid laborer would be just ludicrous. So we've also done it where, yes, we pay him a very fair wage per page, But he is also very much a stakeholder in the project on almost equal terms with us. Sweet. If it ever, you know, starts
if
making
ever make money.
Yeah.
Someday.
Therein lies the trick. All right. Let's see here. So right now I notice that you are publishing online, but what about publishing elsewhere, like selling ebooks or doing print versions? What are your guys' opinions on that?
Both.
Nick, you want to take this one, yeah. Nick?
We're in the, what I term the actively working on phase of the new website, which means no longer just futzing around with a bunch of prototypes and examples. We're redoing the page to make it a lot simpler where, you know, pretty much any page you want as a poster, you could one click get it as a poster. You want to buy this sequence as an ebook, feel free. You want to purchase this sequence for a print on demand, or, you know, once we do maybe a Kickstarter for a print, you know, for a delivery from stock. Mm-hmm. We're really revisiting the site so that it can be easy for people to get it. And our biggest approach for all of that at the moment is going to be basically kind of a pay what you want, right? Pay what you want once you've covered costs. So if it costs us $10 for the poster, that will be the baseline price for the poster. So it will be very clear that all of the prices that are there as minimums are the hard cost to us, and anything additional would be the what they feel that we should be given for this.
Sounds dangerous.
Yeah, we're very much looking into that.
All right. And where'd my list go? Here it is. Let's see here. Would you ever submit your printed materials to local comic book stores?
I'd love to. Like, I'm really pushing to try to Nick's working on the website and this model. I'm pushing to try to do a Kickstarter print run of chapters 1 through 3 soon. Mm. It's like a single volume. And if we can raise enough money and we can print a bajillion copies, I'd love to take some to my local comic book store and be like, hey, you want to stock a couple of these? Mm-hmm. I'll give you a couple for free or something. I don't know. Like, I'd love to do that, to get more involved in the comic book scene. You know, maybe for that, the free comic book day in May or something like that.
It's usually a take it for free and you give me a commission when you sell it, by the way. But
yeah, okay, well, I don't know. I've never done it before.
They call it consignment.
When we do the Kickstarter, we'll make sure that we get an ISBN number. That way we can try and get it into the local stores.
Yeah. Yeah. They call it consignment, and the percentage might change between stores. I know that there's a bunch around where I live and they all had different percentages. So, all right.
Yep.
Let's see here. Are there any plans, or have you ever gone to a comic, anime, or other geek conventions as either an attendee or a tabling artist?
You go, Nick.
I have gone as an attendee. I went down to Phoenix Comic Con and had quite a bit of fun in the artist alley and got to talk to Lars from Blind Ferret, and it was really quite intriguing. We have not yet gone to a convention ourselves as the Demic Archives. We are planning for some of those. We have actually quite a few things that I've got in the works right now. I've got some cosplay experts working on getting me an estimate for making me a suit of Tenzin armor.
Wow.
I've got booth material kind of all lined up and prepped. And I think if we do go, we would want to splurge for an actual booth and not necessarily the artist alley. Only because my vision for how I want this webcomic to work is more aggressive, I believe.
Okay.
There's a lot of webcomics out there that are incredible, and there's a lot that are frankly horrible, but I don't believe the medium with which you choose to publish should kind of be the way that you market yourself and just put yourself into that bucket. I mean, we're demanding a level of quality and hopefully delivering a level of quality.
Okay.
So. It means we're a little bit slower potentially to get started and to get out there.
But I would like to, once we have something physically printed, we don't have many physically printed things, mm-hmm. but if we print some posters, print some books, print some cards, I would want to go maybe to a smaller local con. Mm-hmm. I'm not to one of the big cons yet, but I'd love to go to a smaller local con, get a cheap booth, table, whatever, and just connect and network with some of the people I've met online in real life.
Yeah, going to those mega cons, I don't think work well unless you're already sort of big. I would never recommend anybody that isn't already a mid-grade web cartoonist taking out a table at San Diego Comic-Con. That's just way too big.
Insane.
Yeah, it's too expensive to go.
Is immense.
And then how many people there are actually going for the not recognizables, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So what state are you guys in?
I live in New Jersey at the moment. I'm actually going to medical school here in New Jersey.
Okay. So there should be...
And I'm in Oregon.
So you couldn't be farther apart.
Not really, not at the moment.
No, I used to be in Argentina.
Nick used to live in Argentina. That was farther.
Oh, okay. Well, Oregon, there should be several things happening there in that area. I know there's a fair amount of East Coast stuff.
Yeah, there's a really small one in like Asbury Park. There's medium-sized ones in like New York, Philadelphia.
I was thinking of like Intervention Con, Connecticon, or other things like that, which are like little comic, smaller comic conventions or webcomic conventions specifically. But even... Not sure if you do too well in an anime con, though.
Yeah, we're not quite anime. It's not
quite.
I don't know. Chibi Tensen would be pretty awesome as a plushie.
Our little Chibi Tensen. Or little Chibi Deathbot.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. As a creative peer, do you feel you have more to teach or more to learn?
I have... feel often that I have more to learn, although it's changing. I've been involved, like Nick mentioned earlier, I'm kind of the promotion and community part of the team. So I've been very involved with some of the Facebook groups and some of the webcomic forums and some of these groups. And it's been interesting as I've gone from I know nothing, help me learn, to where I actually feel more experienced in some ways than some of the newer webcomic creators. And I'm able to lend a hand and give them some ideas and point them in the right direction. So it's been an interesting shift for me over these past 2 years, where now I feel a little more middle of the pack, as before I was definitely at the very, very bottom.
Yeah, with regards to the technology, the business of it, the actual hosting of a web comic, right, which implies a web page, I definitely feel that we've got a lot to offer there. The current iteration is still something that I knocked up out of a WordPress template in about, 12 hours. The page that we're working on now is going to be a from the ground up comic hosting. This is for hosting web comics, and that is what it is for. It's not a clutch together. It's not a plugin. And that may be something that we choose to offer to the community as a whole, because I do think that it would help a lot of people to realize that this doesn't have to be, if it is your live stream or your blog or your artistic journal or your vlog, that's fine. If it's a piece of quality art that you feel you want to see, printed, published, and you want people to take it with that. That's, that different view than you take your Gagaday black and whites. Then people should feel that they have a hosting solution that can do that, or a technology stack. And then the ability to feel like, what's your progression? How do you market this? How do you turn this? A lot of people are focused on the quick buck, but there are quite a few that are focused on just making a quality product, but then they have no idea how to get even just covering costs. So
yeah, that's why I always review the website whenever I do a review of a web comic.
Yeah. Nick's a web programmer, by the way, by trade. That's what he does.
Ah, well, there you go.
No. Software engineer.
Oh, sorry. A software engineer who focuses mainly on web development.
Yeah, you got to turn your nose up a little bit when you say that.
Yeah. Pinky out.
I don't just do HTML and CSS, my friends. Well, no, actually, I did that for like six some odd years, but lately I've been doing more systems engineering, like high scale crazy stuff. You can check out my LinkedIn for where I'm at now. I won't pitch that here, but that has gotten a level of, actually making a thing specifically designed for and made for hosting a comic and all of the other concerns thereof is quite interesting, because a lot of people have done, take your favorite CRM and plug a comic, plugin on it, but that's not quite the same thing.
All right. One last question here. What are some of your favorite comics that you think others should check out?
Ooh, there's a lot there. So like I said earlier, I'm pretty active in some of the smaller sort of independent webcomic creator groups. A couple that I would shout out that I think are really well done. Maybe not always at the at an artistic level of wow, that's some amazing art, but just a really well done story that doesn't get enough attention. One of them's a Zookanaut. Probably hard to spell. Starts with a Z.
I think you'll need to get me some links.
Yeah, I'll give you those links after. That'll work. Zookanaut's a really good one by a couple Canadian creators of mine. really well told story. It's really getting quite interesting. About the same point in a story as ours is. It's about the same point. The Black Mud Puppy is another one that is about the same point. Hilariously done. Very good jokes. Very interesting characters and story. Those are probably two off the top of my head that I'd... Kyria is a pretty good one as well. Yeah.
I would say Unfounded for myself and Freak Angels. Angels was actually the one that I, when we were interviewing artists at the very beginning, that was kind of the reference point that I gave them is I'm looking for something of this quality. Mm. It's going to be a story that has a concrete. It's going to be a long form story. It's not going to be a forever gag a day. Mm-hmm. And I want something that looks beautiful like this, you know?
Awesome. Well, just be sure to get me those links, and I'll include them in the show notes. And and that, I think, brings us to the end of this episode, unless there's anything else you guys would like to clarify or touch base on before we go.
No, just thanks for the interview. I really appreciated it, and I would indeed be okay with you giving us a critical, honest review. I feel that it would be very interesting and very useful. You've obviously have a lot of experiences. You've been doing this in the Beacon, webcast Beacon sort of things for a long time. Mm-hmm. So we would love and appreciate your feedback.
I will add it to the list. And
then, the ever-growing list of things to do.
I suppose. All right. Well, so
thanks for the time.
Once again, this was part of the creative team of Demon Archives at demonarchives.com. I want to thank Nicholas Sharp.
Thank you.
And Daniel Sharp.
Thank you very much, sir.
For joining me on the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. Talk to you guys next time.
See ya. Take care. Thanks.
Or see you next time. Whatever I do to. Okay.